Yo guys, it's all the back. What's cracking? So I gotta say a little preamble before the podcast. You know, I smoke a little bit of weed. I don't think Quincy Jones normally smokes a little weed, so you might find you might be a little high during this episode. Maybe you got a little too high, but it's still a fun episode. Quincy Jones, he did a fucking 1,000 stand-up open mics in 2013, and now he was recording, he's about to record his first hour. So it's a, you know, inspirational story. You're gonna love it. He might be a little high during this episode. Check it out. Alright, yo, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Sarah Kalabok. With me for the third time, Quincy Jones. What's up, dude?
What's going on, buddy?
So, looking at your Facebook feed, we haven't seen each other in a while. I did a little of a stalking of you, preparing for this interview, you know what I'm saying? You did 1,000 mics last year, 2013.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about that. And it was, it actually had this, thing going around called Through the Lens. You kind of shot a documentary last year, and kind of like a web series documentary showing you do this thing. So that was really cool.
Yeah,
that's what's going on, Through the Lens.
Yeah, it's my co-producer of my show, one of my good friends, Sam J, my partner. He's actually getting ready to edit it up and make it like a little more fluid documentary. So
I'm an improv. I'm more of an in the moment type of comic. But even I write, you know, I have joke books. This is my joke book. I have like little Ernest Hemingway one. I have bits. I haven't even done Motivated by Spite. You know, I'm taking a look through now, looking at all the old bits that I haven't done. I have my phone. You know, I got my phone right here. I got my little phone notepad. Bits that I work on. Just scrolling like that. I used to do like this trick, like I'd scroll and I'd tell someone to tell me when to stop, and I'd see what that was about. I'd be like, oh, stop. This is my mad scientist one right here. I keep stopping it. It's good. It's a good book. I would offer a reward for it if I ever lost it. This one I have tons of bits. I write on receipt papers when I used to write at work. I get an idea of it. Cheating is just a one-man bachelor party. It's like these are all just receipt papers.
So that, I mean, that averages to like 3 or 4 a day, you know? So, and you got an hour of material out of doing the adventure. So was that crazy for you? Did you ever think you were going to quit at any time and not make your goal? You know, did you ever?
Yeah, man. Honestly, I hit a wall. They have round 100, 150. I was like, those sets were some of the toughest sets for me to keep getting up and doing. I was like, you could quit right now. No one's going to even care.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, I talked to some friends of mine and they were like, you got to keep going, man. Like, you just need a new joke to hit and ask to hit hard and you'll get over this hump. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I kept grinding out and I did it. It was great. It was really good.
Once you tell the internet, hey, I'm going to do 1,000 sets in a year, people start to know, and they start to, like, did you almost put it all on the internet as you were doing it just to motivate yourself? Like, there's no way. Like, you almost painted yourself in a corner where you had to do it.
Well, after I put them out, I was after the first, like, through the lens, that's when I was like, yeah, I got to do it now.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, oh, what's, you know, it was time. It was time. The best thing about that was how strong a comic I've become. If that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I feel like it's like any muscle that you flex repeatedly, it's going to become stronger. So
yeah, you're like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym 1,000 times this year.
Exactly. You know, you do that, that's three times a day, you're going to be fucking yoked and cut.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. So, I mean, when I was doing it, I definitely felt like I was tired. I wanted to quit plenty of times. I was weary. I was losing stuff like relationships and all that. And then it was just like, fuck it, I gotta finish it. Once you put it out there enough times, because people are like, yeah, he's gonna do 1,000. Then you put like, oh, 500, and it's June. It's like,
right.
Oh well, now I gotta see if he's really gonna fucking make it. That's 500 more in 6 months.
Yeah, I think it's very inspiring, you know, you're just, you put it together. So now, as a result of this, you were telling me that this Saturday you're going to film your first hour after doing, you know, comedy for 4 years. You're ready to put your hour together.
Yeah, felt like people wanted to know what the end goal was. And I came to be like, did 1,000 sit-ups. Like, what's the end goal? Just wanted to do 1,000 sit-ups. No, yeah. It's like, you got to have something to wrap it up. So this hour is like the wrapping up. It's like the bow on the Through the Lens, my year, 2013, stuff like that, you know? I did more sets than anybody in any coast. So yeah. It's like, it's a lot.
So that's the Guinness Book of World Records looking into this? Any of that talk?
Nah, you know, I keep it low key.
You're not keeping it that low key. It's on the internet in a documentary series. Someone should look into that, you know? Hey, if you beat 1,000 fucking sets in a year, let us know. But, you know, I'm going to say that's the unofficial record.
Yeah, that's the record. I don't need Guinness. It's the record.
So, anyway, let's check out some of your stand-up. There's some clips online that I already downloaded. Let's check it out.
Guys, are you tired of romantic comedies?
No.
I'm tired of them. It's the same old plot, you know? It's like an uptight chick and a laid-back guy, and they're from opposite ends of the track, and they're like, Hollywood's like, how are they going to make it work? And I'm writing my own screenplay. It's a little more reality-based. It's called Two People Dating in L.A. with No Car. That's what it's called. She lives in Reseda. He lives in Encino. There's no train. How are they going to make it work? How are they going to make it work? Guys, I like to go to karaoke with white people. And I anonymously request songs that contain the N-word for them. And then I just stand in the front row with my arms crossed, like, don't do it. Don't sing California Love, bro. Guys, I just got cable. I've been watching the show Scared Straight. Any of you guys seen the show Scared Straight? I love it. It's where they take a bunch of knucklehead kids to jail and the convicts get to yell at them for 8 hours. But the thing about that show is that the intensity of the criminal never actually matches the crime. Okay? So what you get is a bunch of people like, you think this is a game? You think this is a game? And then the greaser was like, Tyrone, time, 6 months. Crime, unpaid parking ticket. Why is he so angry? He's going home soon.
In the last year, because you were so focused, like, your personal life was falling apart. You were hanging in and out of relationships. Is it hard for girls to understand, like, the kind of quest that you're on? And because they want attention, you know, but you got to give stand-up attention, you know?
Yep. Gotta give stand-up all. Stand-up requires a lot of attention. Ladies, if you're gonna date a hard-working comic, maybe I could coast. I could be a coasting comic, but that's not what I got into it for. I want to make this my career, you know? I want to work on it. So, for me, the personal life, would I do things differently? Yeah, for sure. I probably would have tried to get a little more balance early on, but it is what it is, you know?
Do you want to go into any kind of specifics on that? Like, any time where, like, was there any moment where it's like, oh, is it the fucking mics or is it me? You know, did you get any ultimatums or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, I got an ultimatum. Yeah, she hit me with the ultimatum. She was done, like, 3 months in.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, again. And I was going home and stuff like that, so as soon as I'd land, I'm like, we got to hit this mic. We got to hit that mic. She's like, I want to do something with you. I was like, that could wait.
Yeah.
And women don't want to wait.
Right.
There's enough guys out there that'll wait on a woman. So it is what it is.
It is weird because, you know, it's almost like we have to delay our gratification. I think about this all the time. Like, in my head, you know, I have a series of women where it's like, I want to fucking make it. I want to make something that I want to get some action going. And then, like, have some leverage and then be like, okay, well, I'm at this level of comfortable. I can afford this kind of caliber of lady.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. But it's all about delaying gratification and getting something. Like, you know, I got to build a nest before, like, you know, or do some kind of, like, you know, birds build a nest for each other and do some kind of plumage dance. Yeah. I'm trying to get some action with show business going, you know?
Yeah. And that's what you should be focused on.
Building the nest, yeah.
Building the nest and just going for it. Going for what you, going for what you want. Like, if you're not, every day I wake up and ask myself, did I put myself closer to my dreams?
Right.
Did I get up? Did I write a joke? Did I try? What did I do to take steps to get to where I want to go?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just babbling, you know?
Yeah.
A dreamer, a real dreamer is a person who's going after, you know, stuff like that.
Just that you're very good at the public transit system. You know your way around L.A.?
Yeah, man. My car got stolen 4 months in when I moved to L.A.
Right.
So I, like, had to learn everything on the fly or go back home. And for me, what I heard back home was if you make it there the first year, because everyone turns around in the first year. So if you just make it through, then it'll be good. And so when that happened, I was like, I can't go back.
Yeah.
I can't go back in less than 6 months, dude.
Yeah.
I got to get through this year.
Yeah.
I made it through, and I was like, okay, what do I do now? And so I learned, you know, the buses, the, you know, bike. And I got a bike last year, a train, and stuff like that. I learned it bit by bit, increment by increment. A job interview all the way out in Pasadena. Well, how am I going to get there? Google Maps. And then take the train.
You got to wake up at 6 a.m. like a soldier and blend some eggs in a fucking blender. Choke that down at 6:30 a.m. Run up the stairs, you know, do a little dance and some sweats. And then hit that bus and go to Pasadena, because it's going to take 4.5 hours on a bus to get there.
Man, that is pretty much my depressing life. Oh, when he said it, like when he said it, I was hearing it and I was like, oh shit, I have a horrible existence.
Well,
I feel like shit in the highway.
did I distill your life to the worst possible degree? This is celebrating you, Quincy Jones, on the Highway Diary podcast. Look, after 1,000 sets, this guy's grinding, and the result's an hour, you know?
That was the goal, man, because if
putting
you do
it together.
Yeah, you put it, well, now you get to, this year I put it together. I'm still putting it together, but last year was about, okay, getting
right.
Material, you know, getting out to do it that way.
Look at you. You also got a blog,
yeah,
right?
I got a little blog for sure.
What's it? That's not QuincyJones.com. Got a blog. I want to read a quote from that blog, because I think that there's a lot of knowledge distilled into a few paragraphs. I want to get to it real quick here. I get it, lady. I get it, ladies. Society has made it difficult to be yourselves and enjoy your body. I also understand that men are controlled by tubes that fill with blood when excited, and the thrill of conquest excites them even more. But here's the news for you, ladies. Men are going to do what men are going to do. You can't control them no more than you can control time or the sun or aging. You can only hope to do your best and not give them a reason to. How do I know? Because I have cheated. I have also been cheated on. Both could have been avoided. In fact, the cheating scenarios could be avoided, but you got to pay attention to the signs. You know what I mean? So what are signs when a relationship goes bad? Why did you cheat? Why do you think you got cheated on?
Oh, man. There's no set reason why people cheat other than the fact that one person's unhappy and not sure whether to leave.
Right.
You know? Why did I cheat? Shit, man. I'd love to blame it on, you know, just being a young knucklehead, you know, a little hornball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, when I was, seriously, when I was, you know, you're 15, 16, you're trying to help anything. You
right,
know?
Right.
Yeah. So,
it's been very well documented that I used to fuck my couch. I fucked the toilet once. You know, anything with any sort of crevice,
yeah.
I would at least, you know, dip my dick in at one time just to see what happened.
I've never had to dip my dick in it one time. That's going to be my new way of talking
just
about
like
sex.
More tactile.
Yeah.
It's like I just different
dip
surfaces on my penis.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Like linoleums, just I liked any kind of fabrics, anything.
You're a connoisseur. Your dick tip is a connoisseur of life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wasn't that discerning, though. Oh. I learned that tree bark is not a good kind of lubricant or anything.
Hilarious.
Hard to fuck a tree. Okay, moving on. So, look. You're men are controlled by tubes that fill with blood, you know. We can only do so much. And what's the point of relationships, really? What's the point of putting a marriage ring on and saying, oh, you're not allowed to fuck anything else? Like, the weird thing that goes on here is, like, guys really can just, like, drop two loads a day and then they'd be fucking happy. You know what I mean? That's how much sex that they require. And if a woman can't provide that level, it's got nothing to do with them. It's not personal. But why are you preventing loads? Like, what is... You have to... You're too... You don't want to get all his loads out, and then you can't let him have other... You know what I mean? It's very weird. It's always like a blackmail scenario. You know?
Yep.
So what do you think motivates women? You know, and...
To
and,
cheat?
Well, what do you think they want? And it's love. Almost like...
We, love.
Okay.
Love.
Attention.
Yeah, I mean, they want a lot, but most women want to be loved. Most people want to be loved. Attention. They need attention. They need affection. They need, you know, protection. The problem is they want, like, a perfect balance of everything. They want just the right amount of tough, just the right amount of sweet. You know, stuff like that.
Right.
You can't have just perfect. Guys aren't going to meet the little... They're not going to come across the... If there was a graph, they're not going to come across equal. They're going to be like... They're going to vary. It's up, down, up, down. Like, you might be really high in the sweet department, but really low in the memory department. You know? And woman wants... I want him this... I want him 20%... I want him 20% mean. I want him... 30%, you know, sexy or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So they want like an equal on the graph. If we break up everything like characteristic traits into charts, and they're like bars, and they want a perfect across the board.
Yeah, but it's like if you know, if they want a certain level of lifestyle, then you know, I don't know. It's crazy. Do you hear the Mel Gibson divorce tapes?
Yeah.
What do you think about those? Like, it just seems like, obviously, she was some, like, Russian, you know, hooker-looking, you know, gold snatcher, maybe, type of person.
Yeah.
Who was very concerned with her looks, very materialistic. And then, like, the rage that came out of Mel Gibson.
Fuck you! Get the fuck away from me! But my daughter is important! Alright? Now, you have one more chance! And I mean it. Now fucking go if you want. But I will give you one more chance. You make me want to smoke. You fuck my day up. You care about yourself.
You're so when selfish.
I have been so fucking good to you. You fucking
I didn't do
me.
Anything. I did not do anything. This is your selfish imagination. That's
but
all.
Fuck up. You should just fucking smile and blow me. Because I deserve it.
I was like, when I first heard that, I was like, damn, man. It's one thing to knock the Jews, man, but damn.
Yeah.
Now you're attacking her. It was so bad he had to go film a movie in Mexico. He was so, oh my God, not, he just got out of the doghouse for the anti-Semitic comments.
Right.
And then he goes and gets into the race.
Yeah. When he was drunk at on the West Side Highway or Central, what's it?
Pacific Coast Highway?
Yeah, Pacific Coast Highway. And then he got pulled over and he was like, are you a Jew? To the cop.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's up, sugar tits? Oh, Christ. Like, yeah. So he's so, like, anti-Semitic that he's like, oh, you're a cop? You're trying to arrest me? Are you a Jew? What does that even mean? It doesn't really have a sense of history. It doesn't really...
Maybe he felt Jewish people run the police force.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, a Jew must have sent you. I know these.
Yeah, yeah. Tricks. Oh, I knew it. I knew this day would come. Like, oh.
Your fucking Jewmobile just fucking pulled me over.
I'm cruising down Christian Highway.
And minding my own God-fearing business. Well, Mr. Deli Slicer over here comes up, pulls me for no reason. I'm minding my business.
Oh, my gosh.
Just, and it's almost like, then he blamed it like, oh, I was just drunk. And it's like, well, does booze really make you anti-Semitic? Or is that like just beneath the surface always? Just ready to get.
Well, I don't know what overcame me. I just had a Moscow Mule and I'm a racist. Sorry, I had way too many Long Island.
Yeah, I'm not normally homophobic, anti-Semitic,
right, racist.
And racist.
But man, these Long Islands just put me in a different mindset.
I don't want to say they opened my eyes.
They opened my heart. No, wait. I mean,
my ex-wife's a whore.
Provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs you feel you have to show off. Tight outfits and tight pants and stuff. You see your pussy from behind.
Miss America came over and she came to Pennsylvania High School where a senior asked the Miss America to prom. Mm-hmm. And then he was suspended, you know? And now Miss America is saying, don't suspend the team over a prom invite. You know, she's going, nothing happened. And apparently, because this one charismatic kid, I'm trying to find his name here, Patrick Farbs, you know, she came over, she's Miss America, she's hot, prom's coming up, he's like, and the official told him, don't ask her to prom. Like,
right.
What's the problem here?
Right.
He got suspended for just being charismatic and, you know, asking for a date with this bullshit.
Right.
Maybe she would have went with them. What do you think about schools? Do you think that they're closing down? You know, do you think that they're stifling comics? Like, look at this one. That's a funny bit. I'm sure the high school went crazy after he did that. That's hilarious.
When I first heard that she was coming, I kind of like was joking around in my class, like, stood up and was like, oh, well, what if I asked her to prom? It actually was talked about so much that I got to the point where the administration heard about it. He was just like, we can't, it's going to be inappropriate, we don't really want anything like that. He did a lot of hard work and probably a lot of, you know, spent a lot of time getting Miss America to our school, you know, so I completely understand why they were, you know, frustrated with that.
Oh, man. Your weed always, like, then you ask these questions. Like, your weed is great, and then you ask these questions, and it's all of a sudden, like, triggers the truth. And so you're like, yeah, I think 9/11 was an inside job. Like, shit, you're like, what? I would have never said that. The first thing I thought when I heard that story was, who cares? I don't even know who Miss America is.
Yeah.
But about schools, I mean,
were in high school, did you ever get censored by any kind of bureaucrat for trying to do a sketch or anything like this? Or?
Nah, I wasn't into the arts in high school.
Now, what were you like in high school?
I was an athlete.
Oh. What'd you do, football?
No, basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball and baseball.
And so did you, like, did you pick on kids? Did you use your comedy for evil at that point?
No, there was no jokes. I mean, like, unless you were on the team, you know. Right. Those are just talking about funny shit that happened between the team. But, yeah, I played basketball, baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was trying to graduate.
So it was always in the back of your head, though, to do comedy? Or when did that start happening?
No. The first time I ever thought I enjoyed comedy, I was like 8, and I remember my mom's backing out the driveway, and she's, you know, reversing stuff, and then I yell, watch your blind spot, and she slams in the car and jerks forward and jerks up, and I'm just laughing, like, ah, so funny. Watch your blind spot. And I just always had like an appreciation for words. So I mean, when I decided to get into comedy, I went through a breakup with someone I liked a lot, and then yeah, no, I didn't. So
I remember I did a sketch in high school that was censored by some bureaucrats. You know, like it was bullshit. They told me to host the Battle of the Bands, you know, in high school.
Yeah.
So, like, all these different bands would come and perform. And I had written, so there was 12 bands. I wrote 12 sketches. And then as I performed each one, they told me, I can't say this, I can't say that. And I would always, like, I would push the envelope a little bit. But, I mean, it would be, like, the littlest innuendos I wanted to do. Maybe a little dick joke here, maybe a little this and that. They were having none of it. And then the whole show, I fucking had no material. I was stammering because they took all my shit away.
Right.
And also the bands took like fucking 30 minutes each to fucking set up their drum kits. So, you know what I mean? They took my fucking material away. They you know what I mean? They didn't have to take the bombing like I did.
Right.
Unbelievable. And then like there was one sketch that they let me do. It was like a fencing, you know, that yeah. And they're like, oh, you can fence. You can have a stage sword fight. That's okay. And then we did the sketch. And then, you know, the audience was so tired by that point. It was like 5 hours in. And they, you know, it got a medium response. And then the bureaucrat who took all my other jokes came by and was like, oh, great set. You know, good sketch. Ugh. She knew. She knew what she fucking did.
Mm-hmm.
She ruined that goddamn night.
Sabotage.
Anyway, speaking of my hometown, New Jersey man steals dog on first date. So Dover, New Jersey, very close to my house.
Oh, really?
So the guy on a first date stole this chick's dog, you know, and also her TV.
Oh, shit. Okay. So the end of it, at the end of the date, he steals all this stuff.
Yeah. I guess she... It went okay, so they went back to her place, and then I guess, I don't know, this leaving out whether they were intimate, she fell asleep, maybe he chloroform ragged her, but he took her Yorkshire Terrier and a plasma TV worth $3,000.
According to the lady, she met the man online. She knew him only by his supposed first name, Joel. It seems the woman invited him over after the web-based meeting. On the night of the incident, she left Joel alone for a short duration while she was in the other room. When she returned, the man was nowhere in sight, and neither was her $4,000 Yorkie and expensive TV. The woman alerted police of the thefts. Investigators tried to get fingerprints off her cell phone, believing the suspect had used it while he was in the home. However, before they could track him down, the female discovered her unharmed dog leashed up to her TV in her front yard 2 days after their date. Police say they have identified the man, but no charges have yet been filed in the case.
Never any women ever steal anything from you?
Women always steal, like, a sweatshirt or something like that.
On the way out?
No, they would have been at it. They would have, they, like, slowly clip your clothes until you realize. You're like, give me back. And you're like, okay. And they're giving you, like, small things, but they have way bigger things. I saw a girl in my jacket one time. I was like, what are you doing? Guess my jacket.
Yeah. On an island in Japan, deer act like dogs. Apparently, the deer have been so, like, domesticated by... There's always people. There's always tourists walking around who give them food. So now they'll, like, shake hands with people and get treats in Japan.
That's crazy.
Have you ever hung out with a deer?
What the fuck?
You're from Seattle. There's a lot of forest out there. Man. Do you get into nature when you're back there?
Yeah. I love nature. Yeah, have I ever hung out with a deer? I love how you told me that interesting story. I was like, what? It's crazy. And he's like, have you ever hung out with a deer? I was like, what? That's what you mollywopped me with? No, I haven't hung out with a deer.
I went to SeaWorld once before I saw the documentary, probably when I was like 14.
Yeah.
And they let me like swim with the dolphin, you know? And, it was pretty fucking cool. But now that I look back on that experience...
Was there a deer?
It wasn't a deer. I never rode on a deer before. That would be pretty fucking cool. Imagine you harness a bunch of deer up to a fucking sleigh.
You did your Santa.
Yeah. That's the only dude who fucking rocks deer. Nobody else uses that trick.
It's the red suit. It's the red suit.
That's why they all listen to him, because of a big red suit, like a matador. Yeah. He, like, mushes him in the right way. Man, I gotta get into that. You know what I also hear? This is weird, but this fighter, I'm into MMA, you know? This fighter, Tim Bosch, he kills himself one moose a year, and he eats that moose carcass, and he uses it for, like, his meat when he's training. So he's, like, getting pure moose meat as his training meat, and he's a fucking monster, this guy. Moose meat, you know? He's a fucking barbarian. He's a Viking. You know, that's what you need. One moose a year.
Mooses are so big.
Yeah.
They're like, they're bigger than a big deer. Like, we hit medium-sized deers, and they fuck up your car.
Oh, yeah.
A moose will fuck your shit up.
Yeah, dude.
Damn, that's crazy.
I'm wondering how big his fucking freezer is.
This is what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot to, what does he, I picture him like, he's like, drags it back to like a cabin.
Yeah.
Like, rips off the antlers, bangs them up, and just skins it and eats it. It's like, I picture Hugh Jackman being this person.
Yeah. A mountain guy just slings it over his shoulder.
Yeah. And
just, I imagine.
Wearing the fur.
The still bloody, this bloody fucking fur is just dripping down his face as he hoist the rest of the fucking skeleton up the hill.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about.
But also, it's like butchering that thing. You would need like a table saw and just like put in a Ziploc, freeze it. Like, you know, in each one of his like ribs is like the fucking Flintstones ribs. You know? You gotta like chop those things down. It's crazy. You know, it's gonna be a good story. Large quantity of fecal matter found in hotel lobby. So apparently, this guy, his name is Ronnie Lee. 31-year-old, police arrested him because he shit himself in a hotel lobby. Now, I also love that forever, when people in the future Google Ronnie Lee, his name is irrevocably connected with large quantity of fecal matter found in hotel. You know what I mean? Like, he shit in one hotel, and now everyone, whoever interviews Ronnie Lee in the future, will, you know, be privy to the
fact. Did you say that again?
Yeah.
That's surprising. Damn it.
So, yes, Charleston, South Carolina hotel lobby. He shit in it because, you know, apparently he couldn't make it all the way back to his room. And, you know, he just, you know, the police got involved, you know. When you leave a large quantity of fecal matter in a lobby and there's security cameras, the police might have a question.
Bro, that's so fucking funny, bro. Oh, my God. Have you ever hung with shit?
Well, yeah. Have you ever hung out with a deer and shot yourself?
Oh my God. That story. Hey, listeners, when you go back and hear this, read, just listen to the story again. It's hilarious. He's coming. He just shit. He's like, I can't hold it. I can't hold it. Just,
you ever shit yourself in like a, you know, as an adult?
No.
And not even like a little dollop when you're sick? You just can't quite make it?
No.
All right. You? As your eyes wander to the booties walking by us.
The non-existent ones. But, no. Have you?
I think I've had some accidents, you know, being, you know.
As a grown man.
A grown man, yeah, a couple times. But it was always like, you know, in the bathroom, like I get to the bathroom and then as I undo my belt, boom, it's almost like the belt was like holding it in.
Yeah.
And then I'll just squirt a little in my underwear before the toilet. That's happened as an adult. You know what I mean? Someone just fell off the building in the last flight off the helicopter coming out in Korea. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, you're hilarious, bro. That moose meat story is the best.
It's tripping, yeah, right?
I just don't want to picture the man doing it.
Yeah, $10. Just chopping up his fucking carcass on a saw. That's what must go down. Do you imagine how, like, bloody his face is after that and what a fucking crazy murderer he seems like? Yeah.
What'd you do today? Oh, well, I just, for 8 hours, chopped my year's supply of moose meat and put it into Ziploc bags after I got the fucking... dragged the carcass off the fucking mountain.
Oh, and what do I do for a living? I beat up other men in a fucking cage.
Yeah, that's my day job. I like to kill moose meat on my days off.
Yeah.
You guys don't know how to kill moose meat. You don't want to saw through the neck. It's the toughest part.
Yeah. Yo, how'd you kill that moose?
I fucking strangled it, homie.
Yeah, man. Hardest way to kill a moose. I walked up to a street and just choked him. Bare hands.
Yeah.
Hoofs were flying. Yeah.
Caught a hoof in the fucking face.
Fucking crazy, yo.
But now I got my meat for the year.
Hey, man. Everything's better. Good lordy, woody.
What is going on there? Yo, you see the movie, the Chris Rock movie about black women and their hair?
Yeah.
Called Good Hair?
Yeah, called Good Hair.
Now, that's all I think about when I look at a black woman with straight hair like that. Like, the amount of chemicals that they got to put in it, you know, to straighten it out. Very toxic chemicals. What do you think about that? As a black man, what do you think about black women?
I'm not a fan of weaves.
You don't like weaves?
I'm not a fan of them.
Mm. Would you like all black women just to wear their natural hair out like it's supposed to be?
I mean, yes. Sometimes, I mean, the type of weaves now are getting elaborate. They're getting, like,
right,
real, like, obnoxious with the length and the colors. And sometimes a bad weave, oh, it's the worst.
Right.
It's the worst. Eric's like, right.
When you got, like, feathers coming out of it, some of them are very,
no feathers, man.
But, yeah, and also it's, like, now a lot of India people, you know, Indian people have long wavy hair, and I guess a lot of weaves are being made out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed this one in the documentary. They every year they like shave their head, right, as like some kind of tradition in India, and that hair gets put onto weaves. Anyway, Larry Flint, he owns Hustler magazine, and since 1983. He's always sent every single member of Congress a delivery of Hustler magazine. You know? Very political man. It's all about free speech. All about the right to distribute. Smut. What do you think about Larry Flint? You a fan of porn, though? No, like Hustlers?
Not really.
No?
Yeah, I just didn't grow up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, I don't even really, no. I don't even know what to say. No,
no. Just but no. You know, without when you're a single man, you know, in between girlfriends, you know, if you're choosing comedy over girls a lot of time, which happens to me, quite frankly, a lot of time too. You know, you don't use porno to kind of ebb the kind of live off of bridge between girls, you know?
No, I'm an audio. Audio person. I could turn on the audio.
Right. So like, what do you listen to?
No, like, as if a girl's moaning.
Right.
So when I hear her, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm getting in the mood, you know?
Right.
So like, you start fingering her, she starts moaning. You're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to keep going. So that's what turns me on.
So when you don't have a girlfriend, you listen to porno for the blind, and you get just audio tracks or podcasts of porno sounds?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. Just get, audio tracks and podcasts.
Why do you deny yourself the visuals?
I picture it in my head.
Right.
Yeah, I picture it in my head.
So it keeps you sharper when you have to make your own images? You think it's like you're trying to keep your... You don't want to get overstimulated. You know, because I think I broke my dick. I don't know if I talked to you about this, but, like, I like a lot of porno, you know, and I've gone down dark porno holes, like anime and stuff like this, where it's like, you know, I can't, in real life, like, fuck a minotaur in the face, you know what I mean? But I get to see that in anime. So it's like my, I hijacked my whole fucking system. It's broken now.
I can't.
But yeah, you probably have a healthier relationship to porn though, if you're just getting the audio, right? You still gotta.
Too funny.
I want to hear more about your audio and why you deny yourself visuals when it comes to porno. That's interesting.
Sometimes, but it's like, sometimes I'm focused and I'm not looking at it. I'm just hearing it and picturing what I want in my head, you know?
Right.
I mean, obviously with company, it's always better than doing it alone.
Right.
So, yeah, but... This is crazy.
This is all I want to talk about. This chick, her name is Maddie O'Reilly, and she's directing herself in her first adult film, you know, and she's the director. That's what a lot of people are doing now that they're at a film school, you know, and they're still hot. They're like, oh, you know, what am I going to do with all this film equipment knowledge? Let me make a porno. Let me get a DP, and then let me get DP'd, you know? So that's what she's doing. So Maddie O'Reilly's getting double penetrated. And she's saying that the way that she prepares for that is like, and this is a quote from her, physically, it's like any other anal day. No Taco Bell. We don't want a slut lady to turn into a scat woman. You know what I'm saying? And she's saying if she has Taco Bell before an anal day, you know, when she's going to get double penetrated, the Taco Bell will just come right out during the process, you know, so...
Yeah.
That's not a good look.
I was nervous.
Yeah? Why are you nervous?
This is my first DP.
Oh, today's a DP?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Your very first.
My very first.
Wow, that's an important rite of passage for a young lady.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, I feel like it's me transitioning from, like, a girl to a woman today.
Yeah. So. To a slutty woman.
Yeah, slutty woman.
Wow. So how do you prepare for that? Like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely ready already, like, in my mind, so that wasn't an issue. And then I just prepared like any other anal day.
So it's something you were always curious about?
Absolutely, because, like, I've done, like, a boy-boy-girl anal, and, like, I was wondering, like, I wonder what this would be like, just to have the full sensation of two people being inside of you instead of one.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
And this is also your directorial debut. You're co-directing with Mind Freak.
Which is huge. That's really awesome. It's such an honor to be able to do something like that.
Yeah. So you got, like, ideas for today, how the things will go, or you're not telling us?
Nope, you're about to check it out.
So have you ever thought about making a sex tape, Quincy Jones, as a way to, like, get PR? You know, get your name out there?
No way. Never in a fucking million years.
Not even if it was like green screen, it was like or like night vision.
I'm gonna fucking like Spartacus about it. I'm not making a fucking no way.
What if it was with Paris Hilton? That might really up your street cred.
Yeah, my street cred for Paris Hilton.
I don't know.
Nah, I wouldn't up your street cred.
Her first sex tape was a big hit. You know? That made
Who would you make a sex tape with?
Who would I make one with?
Yeah. Anybody, anytime you have sex.
When don't I film it is a better question. You know, and also, if you're fucking in front of your laptops, don't think the NSA doesn't have all your sex tapes, too, you know? Are you worried about that? Are you paranoid about that? That little camera lens at the top of your laptop, it's always looking back at you, you know?
Yeah.
Do you just... picture like that little NSA guy like looking through the peephole at you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They got that technology, you know. That's why you can't turn off your. You can't take the battery out of your iPhone.
Oh, really?
Because they want it always on. They want to be listening to you. You know.
That's crazy. If that's true, that's super crazy. There's so many quotables. There's so many classic E quotables.
Thanks, man. Well, yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast. Check out that's not Quincy Jones.com. your recorded...
Quincy Jones Comedy on YouTube. Quincy Jones Comedy.
You're going to put an hour special up pretty soon?
I'm going to put the hour special up on the YouTube page. And what else? What am I going to... I'm launching on June 2nd. It's going to drop. Check out Through the Lens with Sam J at Perro Sucio Productions. What else? Oh, yeah. If you're in North Hollywood in L.A., come to... When does it go up?
This actually will go up tonight, so,
so
you can plug
tomorrow,
it Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
I'll come to see your hour for sure.
Saturday, 26th, Bob's Espresso, North Hollywood. Come check it out.
Yeah, man. When does that start?
We're going to start 8:30.
8:30.
Yeah.
Cool,
get
man.
Get out of there by 11. That's okay.
Now, this is you know, this is the culmination of 4 years of grinding, right? Four years of jokes. It's the best thing.
Yeah.
Are you nervous? Or do you feel, you know, like exposed, putting it all out there all at once? You know?
Yeah, I mean, but I feel more so relieved that I could start working on new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that I could be... Not really, I'm not looking forward to being done with this project, but now I could focus my energies elsewhere. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. I'm more scared that no one's going to be there. Yeah, I don't want to do it. There's like four people and I have to do an hour anyway.
Yeah.
That would hurt. That would break my soul, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, you got a great story. Through the Lens, check it out. You did 1,000 sets in 2013. Well, you got a couple more days.
Yep, and then it's happening Saturday, 8:30, Bob's Espresso, North Hollywood, California.
Cool, man. Well, yeah, and also check out your blog and stuff like that.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
Cool. All right, that's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Later.